It's on the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, which Yvette just read for us, but I'm calling it the wedding party at the end of the universe. And of course, any of you who grew up maybe around the same time as I did or a little bit earlier would remember the Douglas Adams books about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. One of those was called The Restaurant at the End of the Universe. But this is the wedding party at the end of the universe. As we prepare to meditate on God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come to each of us, that you would lead my words and our listening to your words, and that you would give us joy at the coming of Jesus our Lord. In his name I pray. Amen. All right, everybody, your chance to tell me, hopefully you've been reflecting a little bit, a couple of examples of what's the best party that you've ever been to and why was it so good? Sylvie, of course, you are the first. Go again. And the reason for that would be?
Because it's...
Right. So it's that sense of dancing and singing with your friends. Yep. Good. Who else can think of Robin?
Entire night in very...
About Halloween in particular or...?
Well, stories were telling him that you knew was open.
Very interesting.
Situation, but
yep, cool.
Very nice. Yep, it's Halloween.
Yes.
And then just general conversation. Wow. All of that.
So for you, conversation is really important. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yvette, what's your best party?
Oh, as a wedding party.
Oh, no, you're going to steal mine. Stop
I'm
right
not
there.
Stealing yours. It was a wedding party, and there was gypsy jazz playing, and it was picnic baskets on the lawn.
That was my second one.
Oh. And it was beautiful wedding party.
Excellent. It was just really relaxed.
Evening.
Yep.
Yeah.
And last one, sorry, Noreen got her hand up before you, Toby.
Graduation.
Yep.
It was a great party before we had the good
people. Yes.
And we had a little people.
Friends, family, dancing, 21st and graduation, food, all of those things. Yeah. Very important. The best party that I ever went to, did you guess that I was going to use this one? The other one. It was a wedding party, it was the wedding of two people called David and Jemima, and they booked out a whole campsite down along the Great Ocean Road for the entire weekend. So if you were a guest, you got to come and stay at the camp with just guests for the wedding, and then they had the wedding at about 2 p.m. on Saturday, and the weather was gorgeous. And we partied late into the night because we didn't have to stop because there was no one else around, literally for miles. So we could stay up and play with our friends and talk and sit by the campfire for as long as we wanted. And there was just an awesome sense of community and of friendship and of celebration and all of those things. And the party didn't have to end, which I thought was pretty cool. Now, this parable that Jesus tells us comes right near the end of his earthly ministry in the last week of his life. And it's a parable about a wedding party. I kind of like this idea of the outside wedding reception, the being in nature and enjoying not only your friends, but also the goodness of God's creation. Now, straight up front, I have to say that I know that the idea of a wedding is a bit fraught for some of us. If we have been in relationships that haven't gone well, then maybe the idea of a wedding is not quite as joyous or as celebratory as it might otherwise be. And yet, throughout history, weddings have always been a great source of joy and community and hope for people. And I think that there's a hope there in a wedding that things will go well, that the relationship will work. And especially when you go to the wedding of friends where everybody says they're just meant to be together. And then you know that they have a long lifetime of love ahead of them. Weddings can be great parties. Weddings have always been celebrated. I reckon they're the best parties in some ways, if they're good ones, because they give us glimpses of the joy of heaven. And the reason that I say that is that consistently throughout the scriptures, the relationship between God and God's people is described as a wedding, as a marriage, where God fully and completely gives his love to the people that he is calling to himself. So I'm going to actually read the parable again because I think it's good to hear it again. And it's from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus says, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.' But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, 'Lord, Lord, open the door for us.'" Welcome, Deb. "But he called back, 'Believe me, I don't know you.'" That's not for you, Deb, sorry. "So you too," Jesus says, "must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return." There's an undeniable note, I think, of judgment in this parable. The idea of the door being closed and no one being allowed to get in. And that can be scary for us as we think about it. We think, well, am I ready? Am I one of the 5 wise ones or the 5 foolish ones? Am I going to be locked out of the party that Jesus is throwing? In fact, it's easy to get quite worried about this parable and some of Jesus' other parables at this point in time and to miss the main point. And the main point is this: you are invited. You are invited to the wedding party at the end of the universe. You are invited to the party that God has been preparing for his people since before the day of creation. You are invited to the best party that there ever was or ever will be or ever could be. So the one that you were thinking about before when you said, yeah, that was my best experience with a party, that was a tiny glimpse of the joy and the celebration and the community that God has in store for his people. You are invited to the wedding party at the end of the universe. Isaiah chapter 25 in the Old Testament talks a little bit about this wedding party. And sorry that the text is very small. I haven't zoomed in on that. Let me read that for you. "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken." Stephen, you used to work at Dan Murphy's, still do occasionally, I believe, still do. What is the most expensive wine that you ever sold to someone at Dan Murphy's? Grange, I thought that might be the case. About how much is that worth? $800 for a bottle. Have you ever had the privilege of tasting such wine? Okay. Yep. And was it good? What separates a good wine from a not so good wine? Very smooth. Okay. So think about a feast with the very best of everything, the very best of the best of the wine, the very best of the food. I don't know what your favorite food is. You could probably think about that for a minute too. But God has been preparing this party, which is a wedding banquet for his son. And he wants all people to be invited to the wedding party at the end of the universe. And in order to do that, he has done everything that's necessary for us to be there. So this is the main point of the parable, and I really don't want you to miss this in the anxiety about, am I ready? Am I foolish or am I wise? The real point is, you are invited. God invites you to his great wedding banquet. You see, the key to the parable is right in the middle there, and it's this verse that says, the bridegroom is here. Come and meet him. The bridegroom is here, come and meet him. In that culture of the first century in Palestine, the bridegroom, the man who was going to get married, would prepare a house for his bride-to-be to move into. And it was only when the house was ready, to the extent that the father of the bridegroom was actually happy with it and said, yes, this is a good place to bring my new daughter-in-law, that the groom could actually go to the bride's family house and go and collect her and have the wedding. So unlike in our culture where you have a very very scheduled wedding day and celebration and it has to be booked months in advance, in that culture you weren't quite sure when the groom would come to take his bride to their new house. So the bridegroom is delayed, but finally at midnight, the cry goes out, here he is, come and meet him, come out and meet the bridegroom. Now the key question is, how do you respond to the invitation that God gives to the wedding party at the end of the universe? This parable indicates to us that an RSVP is required. There is actually a date beyond which, if you've said no up until that point, you can't say yes anymore. The foolish bridesmaids are locked out of the wedding party. They stand outside and they knock, but they can't get in. So that point for us comes either when Jesus returns or when we die. God issues his invitation to us throughout our life. And I believe that each of us in this room are people who have received that invitation and who accept it with joy. But what about these foolish bridesmaids? When the cry goes out, here's the bridegroom, come and meet him, what is their focus on? It's on themselves. It's on their oil. It's on their lamps. It's like saying, if your future husband were to come, I can't come right now. I'm washing my hair, or I'm putting on my dress, or my eyelashes are not ready. Okay? The most important thing is the bridegroom. It doesn't actually matter whether or not you have oil in your lamps to go out and meet him. Just go. No one's going to be shut out because their lamp has gone out. And yet, these foolish bridesmaids are foolish because they are distracted from the most important thing, which is the arrival of the bridegroom himself. It's really important to note here that in this parable, everyone is invited. The invitation goes out to all. Some of them treat it as the most important thing that will ever happen to them, and some of them treat it as if it's really not important at all, and they get distracted from it. Now, I want to speak directly to those of you, and there are a lot in our community, who are involved in ministry work of some kind. It might be teaching, it might be bringing up your children in the faith, it might be involvement with our church plant or with the district here, or social work. Things that take a significant amount of emotional effort for us. Do you get distracted? Are you sometimes so busy doing things for God that you lose your intimacy with God? That's such an important thing that I'm going to say it again. don't get so busy doing things for God that you lose your intimacy with God. In our lives, especially as people who are deeply involved in ministry, the most important thing is to be intimate with Jesus. And the things that we do as part of our daily life flow out of that intimacy with Him. Just this morning, here is a confession for you from a pastor. I was praying over this passage as I was preparing my sermon, and I realized that it was striking me as bad news, that I was actually really anxious and worried about what Jesus would think about me if He came back right now, and that I had, to a large extent, let go of my intimacy with God. And I had to spend quite a bit of time praying about that and asking Jesus to show me again the joy of His coming. You know, sometimes for us, even worship can feel like a chore, I think. If we're feeling burnt out, if we've given so much, if we have no oil left, sometimes even gathering with God's people to receive His gift to us in word and sacrament can feel like hard work. Now, this might not be the case for you. If that's the case, if it's not the case, praise God, that's fantastic. But I think all of us at some point face that feeling of having run out of oil, that feeling of I've got nothing left to give. And if that's the case, I invite you today just to soak in the love that Jesus has for you. Don't get so busy doing things for Jesus that you lose your intimacy with Jesus. I think that's the biggest risk for us. So, back to the party. The whole point of Jesus coming to earth is to invite us to the party and to give us all that He has and all that He is. To give Himself completely and fully to us, to you and to me. I'm going to embarrass my wife and mention a line from our wedding vows. It goes like this: all that I have, I give to you. All that I am, I share with you. Jesus is the bridegroom. All that He has, He gives to you. He invites you to be part of the bridal party, part of His bride, the church. All that He is, He shares with you. His identity as the Son of God the Father, the forgiveness that He brings through His death on the cross, the intimacy with God and the answers to prayer that come with being connected to Jesus. All of those things He comes to give Himself to us. There's a wonderful quote from a sermon by a well-known man called Martin Luther, who preached on this very passage 500 odd years ago. And Luther says this: "See, here in the gospel, Christ calls all Christians at once, a spouse or a bride, and He is the bridegroom. Here there should be no mediator. What kind of marriage would it be if a middleman had to be placed between the spouses to woo and win the bride at her bridegroom's side? That would be a dilapidated marriage if the bridegroom didn't give to his bride everything that we had. We should know here that Christ is our dear, friendly spouse and we are the bride. No mediator is needed here, but we ourselves should approach Him with the same complete confidence with which any beloved bride has ever approached her sweet, friendly, wedded husband. For the Christian faith brings it about that Christ is the bridegroom and I am the spouse. Everything is His: the wealth, the godliness, the righteousness, the purity, the wisdom, the humility, the patience, and all such virtues and gracious gifts of God. Now, if these things belong to my bridegroom, then surely they also belong to me. As Paul also says in Romans 8:32, if God gave us His Son, how then will He not give us all things together with Him? He has given me His Son. I need nothing else. I am most certainly His spouse, and He is my bridegroom." So you are invited to the wedding party at the end of the universe, which God has been spending all of time and eternity preparing so that you can enjoy the presence and the love and the grace and the gifts of Jesus, the bridegroom. You are invited. You shouldn't be scared of whether you're going to miss out, because all you need to do is to know Jesus and to know that he is the most important thing. In Revelation 19, verse 9, it's really interesting to me that the Bible begins and ends with a wedding. Think about that. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, the Apostle John writes, "The angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are true words that come from God.'" You are invited. You are loved. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Amen.